This episode of Script to Screen is powered by Speedy Comics.
You can follow them on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME and on their website, speedycomicsme.com.
Hi guys, I'm Ruth Jung.
Hello, my name is Joseph David Jones.
Hey, this is Kevin Sussman.
Hey, this is Mina Massoud.
I'm John Reese Davis, and you're listening to Script to Screen.
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 Hello and welcome to another episode of Script to Screen. Alan here, and I'm coming to you on October 1st, Thursday, October 1st. We have so many headlines to discuss, so many new castings, controversial castings, but when are castings not controversial nowadays? A whole lot of shifts in scheduling when it comes to film releases, movie theaters struggling. I mean, 2020. Can you take a break? We need you to go on hiatus. But I can't discuss all these things on my own, so join me in welcoming the solo to my Chewbacca, the one and only Odd Solo.
Man, I am so happy that we just have three more months of this 2020 shit show left, and we'll be in 2021. And I'm really hoping that things will be better from now until the end of the year and next year, because it's been a shit show.
Yes. Well, what you just said reminded me of a meme I saw a while back. And the meme said, what if 2020 was the trailer for 2021? And the first comment on that meme was somebody telling the person who posted the meme, go fuck yourself. So...
I even think your t-shirt, your happy t-shirt, and there's like the end of the world behind it. I mean, I think it's very 2020, by the way.
It is very 2020. It is very 2020. All right, let's not waste too much time here and jump right in to discuss the craziness that's been going around. which topic do we want to discuss first? Let's talk about the MCU. How about that?
Let's talk about one of our favorite, if you want, franchises or universes. The lovely MCU.
Yes, let's do that. So, according to recent headlines, there will be no MCU films until 2021?
Yeah, exactly. It makes it the first time since 2009. So, from 2009 and 2019, we've had at least one MCU movie that's been released. 2020 is the first year, which is, if you want, has been void of any Marvel movies. And everything has been postponed till 2021 because of the whole COVID fiasco situation, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I mean, look, is it weird that I honestly don't care?
I mean, look, I think there is a reason you don't care, and there's a reason why I care less. It's because I think Endgame, you know, finished everything and you were good. Okay, yeah, there was Spider-Man after that, but Spider-Man, you know, it's okay, it happened, but there wasn't anything really massive to overly look forward to a next Avengers movie. Or, you know, we had read about, what's his name, Doctor Strange and the multiverse. We had read about Blade. We had read about all these things happening. But again, the fact that the machine did not kind of, the ball didn't start to expand or whatever. Very bad expressions, by the way. since none of these really actually happened, I mean, I think we're not really excited for anything. It's not halfway through. Imagine Endgame was supposed to be released this year. I think we would have gone like, what the fuck, you know? We would have wanted to.
Yeah, but I mean, Had, you do recall what I've been saying since last year, which is essentially, I'm just tired of superheroes. Like, I'm so, so fatigued with superheroes. I just want something new to look forward to. I'm so over, like, even with DC, even with the new, like, even with the Zack Snyder cut, like, yes, I'm excited for it, whatever. But I'm excited for it not because it's a superhero film. I'm excited for it because I'm getting to see the man's original vision. So it's more of a filmmaker thing versus, like, the content itself. Like, I just don't, I'm like, I'm so bored. Like, the only reason why I like Amazon's The Boys so much is because it's mocking superhero. Like, it's literally a satire on superheroes. Yeah. And that's what I enjoy about it the most. I just don't care. Like, I don't care. I don't care that the Eternals are coming. I don't care that Black Widow's postponed. I just don't care. Like, I almost care more that I'm going to have a year without superheroes because maybe, hopefully, I'll get excited then.
Yeah, I mean, I get you. I'm not 100% on the same page as you. I still do get excited with a little superhero here and there. But for me, I think it's a bigger problem than that. It's that, you know, when are we going to properly go back to the movie theaters and the movie theater experience?
Because of course.
I miss that. I mean, I've been watching a lot of Netflix recently, and it's just not the same.
You're right.
I mean,
you're right. I agree.
People interacting and laughing and whatnot. And I think that's the bigger problem that we have right now. And it is interesting. And we have said this before. We are living in a time where the whole movie industry is changing and shifting. It's like movies going from silent movies to the talkies. We are living in a period of time where movies are going from movie theaters to your home, and much more aggressively and much more intensely. And this is going to have an impact on the Oscars, and this is going to have an impact on award seasons, and this is going to impact how movies are marketed and the budgets that are allocated to them. I mean, this is the bigger picture right now. It's what's going to happen to movie theaters after. Will they survive this crisis? We have to wait and see.
Yeah, I agree. I do have to correct myself for a little bit, but I also feel like this thing is going to be extremely different than anything we've ever seen, and that's probably why I'm excited for it. I did recently see the WandaVision trailer. That shit looks dope. I gotta say, I am so intrigued because it looks like it's going to be a twisted, like, I don't know. Like it's going to be a mind fuck is what it's going to be.
What the fuck is happening? But again, you are talking about serialized content.
True.
A few days ago, they talked about Samuel L. Jackson and...
Nick Fury's Disney Plus TV show.
Yeah, so, you know, I think they're putting their eggs more into the series basket. They're spending more money on TV shows, content, and less on big budgets. And I think this would be a really nice segue. I mean, James Bond has also been postponed a few times. I don't know if it's going to come out this year or not. But again, I mean, these are other big, big franchises, and we're going to see what's going to happen to it. It's Daniel Craig's last film. And, you know, to put a nice segue, another thing we wanted to discuss today was the casting of the new James Bond, because there's been a lot of talk online and of who's going to replace Daniel Craig. So, again, movies moving forward are going to, you know, have to evolve, to change. I mean, who knows? What if they decide to have a serialized James Bond tomorrow on a streaming platform?
Please don't give people any ideas.
I mean, it might happen. Who knows with what's happening? I mean, I wouldn't want that. I'm not down for a James Bond series or a prequel series of how James Bond, because, you know, that's what, you know, they do in the industry right now.
They just
make a quick buck super easily and just create it.
You just turned my stomach, because I know someone in Hollywood is already pitching the idea.
Probably. And so this week in the news, they've been talking about, you know, Tom Hardy as the most potentially, you know, next candidate.
Wasn't that a rumor, though? Because I don't know. Like, I almost feel like...
It's a rumor. It's not 100% confirmed. But you know how in the UK they have the bookies that kind of, you know, bet on who the next James Bond is going to be?
Yeah, well, the rating, the bet for Tom Hardy just went up, didn't it?
It went super up based on apparently talks left and right. And Idris Elba, who was one of the candidates, has really, you know, kind of faded away from the picture. And then you have Henry Cavill, Mr. Superman, who's expressed interest in being the next James Bond. So on the Bond front, you have a lot going on.
Look, Speaking of James Bond, I remember at one point there were discussions because there was a potential to bring in somebody much younger to play James Bond. I'm on that wagon. I don't want somebody in their 40s. I don't want somebody in their 50s. I don't want somebody even in their, like, I don't even want somebody in their late 30s. I want a younger actor who is going to maybe, you know, go for a while as Bond, like have a good run of James Bond movies.
You know who that was supposed to be initially?
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to be, what's his face from Game of Thrones?
No, initially, before they cast Daniel Craig, there was talks of Henry Cavill back in the day as a younger James Bond.
See, that just makes me want to punch the idiot whoever cast Daniel Craig and did not go with Henry Cavill from then.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't have a problem with Daniel Craig myself.
No, I don't either. Like, I like him, but I'm just saying, like, Cavill would have been a much better bet for me. And look, if they go with Cavill at this point, I'm not against it. I'm not against it, but I still wish that they would go with someone who is, look, I want someone who's not known. How about that? How about a younger actor, late 20s, early 30s, even mid 30s, who's not known? Can we bring someone and make them famous after them being cast as Bond? Wouldn't that be great? Like, why does it have to be someone who is known? Like, why can't we launch somebody's career with James Bond?
I'm not against what you're saying, but then again, you have to look at that the business side of things, and trying to gamble with someone new is a higher risk than gambling a name like Tom Hardy or Idris Elba or Henry Cavill, because those are big names, and big names equal big bucks.
Yeah.
But I do think that you are right. People do forget that there's a stronger name than all of those, which is James Bond himself. People will flock up to go watch James Bond. Now, I don't mind Henry Cavill. I don't know why I can't see Tom Hardy as
I can't see Tom Hardy as James Bond either. I literally like squinted when I saw the article. I was just like, really? Like
a lot of people are on board. Like a lot of people like the idea, but on a personal level, I think he's too aggressive, too kind of. I don't even know if that's an adjective. Henry Cavill is interesting, but I think is a bit physically too buffed to be James Bond. I wouldn't mind the idea of what's his name? You said his name, James Madsen from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
James Martin, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, we both really liked him in The Bodyguard.
Absolutely.
I think he does have this very charming side. He's not too old. He's not too young. He's not too known. He's not too unknown. I think he could do something very interesting with the character.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind him going that way.
I've also been watching recently. I've been watching this, the second season of a series that I watched a couple of years ago called Condor. The lead actor in that, and it's like a CIA kind of show. The lead actor in that is Jeremy Irons' son, Max Irons.
Okay.
I think he would do a good James Bond.
Honestly, just with his name, Max Irons is James Bond. I'm in. I mean, I don't even know who the guy is, but he has a cool name.
Right?
It's kind of a porn star name, though, you know, like, like Max Irons. You know, yeah, okay. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, my thing with Tom Hardy, and I don't know. This will probably get me some shit, but James Bond is supposed to have like this aura of class, and nothing about Tom Hardy gives me class. Is that weird? Like, he just seems like a brute. Like he seems like a brute, like someone who, you know, like you don't want to mess with on the street. Like that's not to hate on Tom Hardy, but like, that's just the aura I get from Tom Hardy. Like I don't get class.
And he has like enough on his back with Venom right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Which does suit him. I mean, with the whole more being rough and you know, aggressive kind of character, if you want. I also want someone, you know, like classier and more sophisticated.
What about Edgerton? What's his face?
Edgerton, Joel Edgerton?
No. Like Kingsman, the kid.
Oh,
Elton
Taron
John.
Edgerton. I mean, he could be. He could, he has proven himself to be James Bondish a bit in, if you want, Kingsman. He does have that, but
yeah.
No, I don't know. No, I would go with someone else, not him. I mean, it would be too close to Kingsman for me. It would be doing something very parallel to that character.
Yeah, I guess. But we'll see. I mean, there's still, I mean, it's all up in the air. And if you watch the most recent trailer of No Time to Die, apparently the mission that changes everything will begin. So who the hell knows what's going to happen after that?
Yep. Yep, who knows? I mean, I don't know what direction they're going to go into. I certainly don't want to. And yes, this will piss people off, but at this point, I don't really have a problem, but I don't want a woman James Bond.
Yeah, and according to the, I don't know what the name of the actress is, but the African-American actress who's the new 00 in No Time to Die, apparently she stated that this is a James Bond for the Me Too era. And that just made me go, oh no. Like if they're going to fully politicize James Bond, it's going to be a death sentence for the franchise.
I hope they don't do that. And I hope they stick to, you know, James Bond. Again, I always say this, let the character be true to his origin, to how he was written. And, you know, you want to create other characters, spy characters, do that. They did that with the Bourne Identity. I'm sure there's probably source material or not non-existing source material of a strong female spy that does this and that. So go for that. I mean, build that character on her own, but not James Bond.
Yep. And you know who did build a super strong female super spy character on his own? J.J. Abrams.
Alias.
And the series exactly. lasted for 5 freaking seasons. You know why? Because she was an original freaking character and she kicked motherfucking ass. That's what she did.
Absolutely. She was a well-written character. She was badass. I loved that show. I remember watching it. It was so much fun. So again,
it was absolutely absolutely great.
Take risks, Hollywood. You know, gamble on unknowns. Come up with new characters. You know, just stop being so freaking money-oriented and playing it safe.
Yeah, speaking of taking risks, Disney just cast someone new for their new live-action Peter and Wendy. And boy, has that created some problems.
A lot of conversation online, a lot of,
Look, again, and I know we're probably going to get misquoted, and I know we're probably going to get punched, but again, why are we changing shit? That's what I want to know. Like, you did it with The Little Mermaid, and your reasons are justifiable to an extent. But now Tinkerbell, I mean, really? I mean, you people, like, all the merchandise revolving around Tinkerbell has her as a blonde white chick. Now you want to have another Tinkerbell? I don't, my head hurts.
Yeah. Look, I don't really have much to add because it's, again, a repetition of things. But I think when someone is written in a specific way, if it's based on source material, just leave that person the way they're supposed to be. And again, come up with new characters. Sky is the limit. No one is telling people not to come up with an African-American, maybe fairy story, or an African-American superhero, or whatnot.
Look, but they had the opportunity to create a new race. Like, they had an opportunity to create darker-skinned fairies in like, the animated Tinkerbell movies and the animated Tinkerbell series and whatever. Why didn't they do it then? Like, why does it have to be in the live action? I just don't understand what they're doing. I have no idea what Disney's doing anymore. It's like they're catering to the diversity thing, but they're not doing it the right way. I don't know.
Look, what they're doing from a business perspective is smart. I'll tell you that. First, it's creating conversation online. It's creating, you know, buzz and hype. And people are, you know, wherever you go, you read a Disney article, you read a story about this person being cast as that character and so on. So that's actually quite smart. If I want to look at it as an outsider who's into business. And in terms of box office and numbers, I mean, technically also that should raise certain curiosity for people to go see this alteration of Tinkerbell or The Little Mermaid or whatnot. Unfortunately, we weren't able to see the whole Mulan impact, how it properly was, how it actually did at the box office. And we probably won't be able to have proper numbers in the coming year and a half.
No, yeah, but you're right. Absolutely.
Stabilize again. It all these things, I mean, they create conversation. Tom Hardy as James Bond or Idris Elba as James Bond is creating conversation, is letting people talk about it. And sometimes those conversations can be beneficial. And so look at, for example, I'm going to give an example which is a bit different, but look at when they released Sonic the Hedgehog trailer. The initial trailer at how people were upset and angry at how the character looked and whatnot. And what the studio did at the time was they took a step back and they revamped the character and revamped everything and, you know, listened to people. So I think this is an interesting side of things where studios are actually, you know, reading and listening to what people have to say and applying what some people have to say for the, you know, to better the movie, to improve the movie.
Okay, and, but let me cut you off. I'm sorry, but like, let me cut you off with this thought though, because can you imagine what would happen right now if Disney was to backtrack their casting of let's say Tinkerbell, since we're talking about this, after them releasing this, could you imagine the chaos that would ensue if Disney was to actually backtrack their casting and recast somebody white instead?
Oh, definitely. Oh, I agree with you. They won't too. But because also you have to look at the comments of people supporting this versus people not supporting this. I think that conversations in general never hurt anyone. And it's good that we are talking about these things. And I'm sure that, you know, maybe, yes, there is a little African-American girl who feels that she will relate to Tinkerbell a bit more. And I am sure that this does do some good, like, on some levels. For me, it's more a question of being truthful and faithful to the source material, being, you know, sincere with that, and for Hollywood to be a bit more creative and coming up with these new characters for these ethnic groups or genders or whatever. This is what I want Hollywood to do. I want Hollywood to stop playing it overly safe and overly easy. That is my biggest problem.
Yeah. And my biggest problem is the idea that somebody's skin or somebody's gender in a film is going to somehow make the world a better place. I never, as a kid, cared about any of that stuff. And let me tell you, no kid will give a crap about any of that stuff either. You know what I gave a crap about? What the character did. That was what mattered. And so this idea that somehow changing a Tinkerbell from X to Y or changing Ariel from X to Y or changing this male character into a woman or this woman character into a male, which that one would never happen because, God forbid. I don't know why this attention to or this identity politics that Hollywood is trying to do. I don't know whether that has an end game or not. Like, I don't know what the purpose of it is, because if the purpose of it is so that Hollywood stays clean as far as like diversity goes, you're not, because we all know that it's fake. And if it's because of the new Oscar rules, then how is that genuine? Like, I don't know. It's just messy. For me, it's messy. It's just messy. I don't have another word for it. It's messy and it's... Never have I rolled my eyes at news from Hollywood or casting news as often as I do lately. Like the past 2 years, I've rolled my eyes at casting news more often than I have my entire life. Yeah. And it's because I know that it's not being done for the right reasons. I know that for a fact. So it's just, it's sad. It's absolutely sad. It's annoying. And I just thank God that I have the original animated Disney films that I can watch whenever I want, because, you know, whether I do like some of the live actions or not, they will never replace the animated films at all.
I agree. I agree. And I'm going to, you know, stick to my, which is something I've always bitched about and complained about. It's about the lack of originality and
amen.
How Hollywood is just, you know, playing it super safe with these known franchises. I mean, we've seen Peter Pan over 673,000 billion times. Just guys, be creative, do something. And you want to be diverse, be diverse. Come up with characters for these ethnic groups. Come up with stories for these ethnic groups. Don't replace, don't change. No, you know, dedicate your time, your effort, your brain cells to creating these African-American or these Chinese or these Japanese or whatever, or male, I mean, or female,
yeah,
characters.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
Write them like, well, and do it well and do it properly, and don't do it in a way where you're trying, you're showing that you're educating people. No, just do it organically, do it naturally, and you will have new franchises left and right, and you will make money, I guarantee you. Creativity has never stopped anyone. Creativity has always been the you know, the main drive for human beings. So be creative, Hollywood. Just stop it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. On that note, we're going to bring this episode to a close. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Script to Screen Official on Facebook and Instagram. You can also follow us on Twitter at _ Script to Screen Pod. You can follow me on my personal profile at alan.mahana, and
I am on had.solo.
You can also follow our sponsors, Speedy Comics at Speedy Comics ME. You can also check out our website, scripttoscreenpod.com, where you will find all of our episodes and a whole lot of content coming soon, because we are revamping and re-updating Script to Screen. I mean, this is like Script to Screen 2.0 is going to be coming at you.
Yeah, and join us next week for a new episode of Strip to Screen, where we'll be stripping live. No, I'm kidding, guys. We're not going to be doing that. That's not the vamp that we're vamping. But no, guys, listen, we said this a couple of days ago in our previous episode. Your support is just, you know, has been amazing, and we are counting on you. So spread the word about the podcast. Tell your friends about it. Join into the conversation and subscribe. No matter where, you know, you listen to your podcast or your music. So for Anghami in the Middle East, Spotify, whatever kind of app you have to listen to music, check us out, Script to Screen, and send us your feedback. Give us your thoughts. Even if these topics are controversial, we want to hear what you have to say. Even if you do not agree with us, we want to hear what you have to say. It's okay not to agree. We're having a conversation. It's non-toxic, and we're here to do that.
Amen. So, yeah. On that note, we are going to check out here for the day. And make sure you join us next Tuesday for a brand new episode of Script to Screen. Yes, we are now on Tuesdays and Thursdays twice a week, including some awesome content coming at you on our social media platforms. Thank you so much for joining us, screeners. See you next time.
Have a great one, guys.